Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Skype, podcasts, blogs, Twitter, Facebook, and Second Life. Like the characters in Pirandello's play Six Characters in Search of an Author, these applications seem to have been set loose on our postmodern society without any clear script or without a destination. Now, is Skype the new telephone? Have you started twittering about what you're doing and how you're feeling? Do you still mix with people, apart from your parents, who don't have a Facebook account? We've all heard about these digital applications which promise to make our lives richer, more interesting, and more connected. However, it is difficult to predict which of these activities will still be part of our culture in 20 years' time. Will they replace old-fashioned communication channels such as the telephone or even email? Or are they just passing fashions for digital geeks and flat rate junkies? Now, welcome to episode 69 of Absolutely Intercultural. While in show 67, we looked at teaching culture and the culture of teaching, today we want to have a look at the online culture and how we all manage to be part of it in our daily lives, at work and at home. In today's first category, Absolutely Private, we hear Linda, who warns us that the new media accelerate our lives unnecessarily and put a lot of pressure on us if we are not careful.
I think that this kind of pressure and this kind of fast life we are all in is somehow sometimes also a problem and a pity.
Then we join Asia Tietz on her travels to Australia, Ireland and Hungary, and hear how she stayed absolutely connected through synchronous communication. But on the other hand, she's rather worried about putting personal information on a website.
If you don't make the sites private, they can really check out what you have done from day to day. There are always stories on TV about this. They can show you what you've done in the last 3 years with just a look on Facebook.
Finally, in our category Absolutely Fashionable, Katrin takes a critical look at which of the technologies have the potential to be part of our culture even in 20 years' time. And she reminds us that while these new technologies are a blessing for some, they put others in danger.
As we all know, some people can't handle their virtual lives and it does have its own problems.
But let us start with the show. Some weeks ago, at a teacher training event, I met Evie and Linda, who had attended my seminar on integrating new media, such as podcasts and Twitter, into their teaching. Then, late in the afternoon, I had the chance to speak to the two and ask them about their general attitude towards the new media for communication. For our category, Absolutely Private, I started by asking how essential mobile telephones are in their private lives. And while Linda has had her mobile since she was 13, which seemed pretty normal to me, to my utter surprise, I heard from Efi, a successful professional in her 30s, that she only bought her first mobile phone 4 months ago, and only because she had to.
For my personal life, I don't like new media. I have a mobile phone since 4 months now, and it's always stress for me.
And this is your first mobile phone?
Yes, it's my first mobile phone. So I'm not. I'm arriving in modern life now.
How about you? Could you survive without your mobile phone?
Actually, I tested it once when I was on holiday, and I forgot my PIN. So when I was at the airport and switched it on, I couldn't remember my PIN, so you need the book, and I didn't have it with me, of course. So that was 1 week without a mobile phone. So that was quite interesting. But in the end, I really enjoyed it, because even if it's not ringing, you're still looking, oh, did I get a text message or whatever. So I really enjoyed it. At the end of the holidays, I thought, well, it's not too bad.
You sound as if you had taken control of it somehow, because
yes,
you said you try something out, or you even sort of try to shut it out of your evening life, for example.
Yes, I do. my mobile phone in the evening is always switched on silent. Mm-hmm. So in fact, nobody can reach me via my mobile phone, because for me, I have a mobile phone since the age of 13. And I can just say that it's by now sometimes really annoying, mm-hmm. because people can always get to you, and sometimes you just don't want people to get to you. So I sometimes just switch it off or turn it on silent, and that's perfectly all right for me.
How about the other so-called new media? Do you sometimes feel that there is a kind of pressure on you?
Yes, it is. It is an obligation. You always have to check your mail. And when you don't answer a mail for like 4 hours, then somebody thinking, she's on holiday. Something, yeah. She's ill. Something is wrong. And there's a email that's like really a must. People write emails all the time, and it's not necessary to just say, I'm working on that. Then I just think, so let me know if your work is done. And not, it's no, and they are writing emails without results, with no kind of message.
Now, we've talked about cases where other people put some pressure on us. Does it ever happen that you put pressure on people? What would you say, for example, if somebody worked with you professionally, you meet them at a conference, and then you say, this is my card with my email address, and this lady says, well, I don't have email.
Well, people without email, that's very difficult to communicate, because you just have a list with email addresses, and it's like a very normal thing in daily life in my profession, and I can't imagine without email. And like a teacher, when she hasn't an email address, then I always have to think, oh, I had some older teachers who were already in retirement and they didn't have an email address. And it was so difficult for me. Always think, oh, their names, 3 teachers, okay. And then I had to print the email, and then they realized, oh, it was an email, and I got it 3 days later. All the rest, they already know. So they were a bit excluded because they got the message a bit later. And I always put pressure on them, because they always knew that, oh, it was an email and I get a print version of it. So that was really complicated to work with.
I think that this kind of pressure and this kind of fast life we are all in is somehow sometimes also a problem and a pity, because as you just said, older teachers don't have email. And then my first thought was, well, 20 years ago or 15 years ago, nobody had email and everything worked as good as it does now. So where's the point, you know, because everything is going so fast, and that puts me under pressure, puts you under pressure. So I think maybe we should slow down a bit.
Maybe Linda is right, and we should refuse to be put under stress by being permanently available on different channels. Both Evie and Linda have managed to create defined spaces and times out when they deliberately cut themselves off from the stress created by the new technologies, for example, by switching their telephones to silent in the evenings. However, from the reactions of the others, they notice that this is not the norm, because when they do not answer an email message within a couple of hours, the communication partners often think that they must be on a holiday in a different country. Now, in my next category, Absolutely Connected, I spoke to Asia Tietz, one of our students, who has spent a lot of time in different countries during her studies. In the interview, she speaks about her study period in Australia, an excursion to Ireland, and her recent internship in Hungary. What with all her moving around, her challenge is actually to stay in touch, both with family and friends at home, but also with those new friends she met during her stays abroad. So rather than being overwhelmed by too much communication on different media channels, she is constantly looking for the best way to be close to home, even when she is far away.
I mostly use Skype, and Skype gives me the feeling to be very close to home. I mean, there are different time zones, but I don't have the feeling that I'm really far away. You travel 2 days, but Skype gives you the feeling that you're so close to home. And just for example, whenever I leave to go abroad, my grandma is telling me the story that she had to go to Bielefeld, which is actually just a 2-hour train ride from home now. But for her, she's 87 now, it was a different world. And it's pretty difficult for me to understand it now, but for her it was so far away. And now even Australia is not far away.
So Bielefeld was your grandparents' Australia then at the time?
Yes, probably, yes.
Now, you talked about Skype. Do you use Skype only for the sound, or do you also use a picture?
No, I also use the webcam. It gives you more connection to the person on the other side.
Is it actually an advantage to see the picture of the other person while you're talking to them?
Yes. My godchild, she is just 3 now, and it makes it so much easier to communicate with her.
Now, you used Skype to stay in touch with home when you were in Australia. Do you still use it now to keep in touch with those people who you left in Australia?
Yes, and I also use it when I talk with my family and they are just 1.5 hours away.
Oh, right.
It's the cheapest possibility. And yeah, my mom can see when I'm online and then she's going online and say, hey, how are you doing? Okay, sometimes it's a little confused because when I'm on Skype with someone from Australia, then my mom is also ringing and then I have to write her a message that I'm online with somebody else. And yeah, so sometimes it's a little too much when everybody can see that you're online and wants to talk to you. But for me, it's the greatest advantage ever. It's a good invention.
So you have quite a digital life, do you? You are quite present on the internet. Do you have your own webpage or blog or something?
No, I don't have my own webpage, but I'm on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I try not to be such a public person. There's always these privacy issues. I'm a little afraid that people get to know too much about me. But I know that employers check these pages like Facebook and all these others. So I think you have to be aware of this. If you don't make the sites private, they can really check out what you have done from day to day. There are always stories on TV about this. They can show you what you've done in the last 3 years with just a look on Facebook. And this is not a good thing.
Are you aware of what is out there on the internet about Asia Tietz?
I try to. Every half year I look up on Google my name. Because my name is not very common, so there won't be a lot of things about my names. And I think everybody should check it sometimes.
Now, nowadays, I think in your age group, it is almost a must to be online, to have a Facebook entry, to have a Skype account, etc. Do you feel that there is some kind of a social pressure?
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, I was the last person from my friends here on campus who joined Facebook. Because as I said, I don't want to be so public, but there was kind of pressure. And now I think it's quite good because sometimes I can see, okay, people are gone on holidays, or even when I am on holidays, I can show it to people. And when I was in Hungary, for example, a friend I met in Ireland, he just offered me, okay, when you're in Hungary, please just give me a call. My parents are living there. If you want to visit, just come around. And that was quite good.
Now, did it help you to have the new media to prepare your internship in Hungary as well?
Yes, because I could contact a study buddy there in Hungary and we were in really, really close contact. She wrote emails every day. She could answer every of my questions. And I had a lot of questions. I mean, all these little things. Where do I stay? How do I find a flat there? And things like that. And she could really help me. And it was just writing an email. And then I got a response on the same day. So that makes things so much easier.
Now, if we took away from you the mobile phone and the internet for 3 days, what would you check on the internet?
I would check my emails, definitely, because I would love to know what's going on. And I would check Facebook, because I'm interested in my friend's life. So, yeah, and then I would probably use Skype to call my parents and my friends.
Now, do you sometimes try to create a space for you where you're not reachable?
Yes, I do this. Because sometimes when I'm working on my computer, I don't want to be disturbed. So I switch Skype off, especially in the evenings. So I don't want to be online all the time. Sometimes you need some private space.
It is fascinating to see how different people regulate the channels of digital media they allow into their private spaces and where they start to worry. Asya, who depends on synchronous technologies like Skype to stay in touch, is much more careful with asynchronous platforms such as Facebook, as she knows that future employers might be able to find entries that were not really meant for everybody to read. In our category, absolutely fashionable, I asked Katrin whether she thought that the new technologies we hear so much about will become important parts of our communication, or whether they are more like a fashion that comes and goes. And in 10 years' time, maybe nobody will ever remember Facebook or Twitter.
It might be a fashion in the beginning, and then after a couple of years, we'll see what remains. So some of it, yes, is a fashion. Some of it is well known. The internet just offers new opportunities. It's not that a podcast as a audio device is something we haven't had before in different ways. We had a CD, we had tapes, whatever. So a podcast is just a different way of doing things we partially have been doing for several years.
How about your surrounding? Is your surrounding digital? Do you get introduced to these new ideas by your friends, by your family maybe?
If you're asking me if I have a virtual life, I don't. And no, not really. I don't communicate with my friends very much in the digital world. I use the email, of course. I do have a mobile phone, and that's about it, which I don't use extensively. No. In my private life, no, not really.
That's interesting, because I want to ask you, how do you feel about it? Because some people say there's almost like a kind of pressure. If you don't have a presence on Facebook, people don't take you seriously. Do you sometimes get the feeling that there is a parallel world opening somewhere and you're not part of it?
No, I don't think so. I think I just have my world under control, and I don't know if I could handle more. As we all know, some people can't handle their virtual lives, and it does have its own problems. I might be a little old-fashioned, but I like technology as far as I can use it and I see the use for me, but I don't feel excluded not using everything that's on the market, no.
Which are the uses of email, for example, or maybe text messages, new things which you've learned over the last 10 years and which you now think, well, this is really part of my life and I would find it difficult not to use them?
It took me quite some time to use a mobile phone, so now I do, and I do send text messages, and not having that much time anymore for my private life, I appreciate it as a very convenient device. Same thing goes with emails, communications with friends that live in the United States. We just have a different day. They sleep when I'm awake, so email is very convenient. I don't think I could do without it anymore. And as far as my professional life is concerned, I certainly could not.
So although she says she does not really have a digital life, Katrin considers email as an integral part of her communication. And she could not survive without it, either in her private life or in her job. So how about you? We would be interested in hearing which of the mentioned applications you consider to be useful for your private or for your professional life. Do you sometimes feel under pressure because others expect you to be available online all the time? Please let us know by writing a comment or sending us an audio file. Or just give us some feedback about our show. Please feel free to visit our blog at absolutely-intercultural.com. We are grateful for every response, be it criticism or support for our show. And maybe you have a suggestion as to which intercultural topics Anne and I should bring up in one of our next shows. So don't be shy, just tell us. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 14th of November. Until then, und bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.